Word of God, I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians 4:8. The Apostle Paul says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. You know, over the years, I've asked many people just at about every age about their hopes and dreams at some point in our relationship. And typically, I've received great answers about those hopes and dreams. And many times, people even kind of have benchmarks in their life of where they want to be, at what age they are, and all their dreams that they have. But, you know, at some point, I usually ask them about being a great Christian. You know, they have all these great plans. They have all these great ideas in their life that they want to accomplish and how they want to change the world. And then I say, well, have you considered about being a great Christian in your life? And it's amazing to me because they're always almost shy about it. It is... It's like they're embarrassed that they would have any ambition to be a great Christian. And if you think about it, I believe it's the most important area of their life. But still, they're afraid it seems arrogant to say, yeah, I want to be a great Christian, right? But let me put this another way. What is the other option if you're not a great Christian? What are you? Have you thought about that? If you know you have a scale of being a Christian, right? If you're not a great Christian, what's the other options? Exactly. Yeah. So, how does it sound when you say, I want to be a great mediocre Christian? It kind of feels a little different when you put it that way, doesn't it? But you know, if you think about it, should we aspire to be mediocre Christians? Is it really prideful to want to honor God with lives of great faith and excellent work? Is that prideful to want to do that? We have an example of how Jesus handled his disciples when they wanted to be great. It's about halfway through Luke chapter 22. It actually, the story begins in Luke 22, verses 24 and on. And it's interesting that Jesus never disciplined the disciples for wanting to be great. He never, you know, got them in trouble, so to speak, for the fact that they would want to be great, that they would want to sit by his side. What he did, however, was to give them a completely new paradigm about what being great is and what being great means. And there are several places in the Bible, such as John 17:4, where we see that Jesus didn't settle for mediocrity. He wanted the disciples, in his prayer for the disciples, he wanted them to share in his glory. Nor did God. I mean, a good example of this is the creation story, Genesis 1:31. God creates humanity, and what does God say? Not only it is good, it's very good. Yeah. See, it's very good. He didn't settle for good, right? Or simply good. When he created, it was very good. So as I was thinking about this, I ran across a book by Chip Ingram. I would suggest you all read it. It's an amazing book so far, at least, as I've been reading through it. And I wanted to share some of the things that I've learned and try to apply them to us here in Warsaw. But it's called Good to Great, and I wanted to explore this concept because it is really an amazing concept when you think about it. Now, this we're not talking about things that are required for salvation. We're talking about things that as you think about great Christians in your life, or people that you would define as saints or great Christians that you've experienced in your life, we're talking not, you know, it's not like they're saved or they're not saved. It's like, man, they were the person I aspire to be. That type of Christian. Now, if you were all to think about this, and if you have 2, 3, 1, 5, whatever, I count well, and we would put them all together and you would think about characteristics. What was it that made you feel that that is a person you aspire to be? What was it that made that person a great Christian? You hear what I'm saying this morning? And if you would, we'd put all that together and see what boils to the surface as commonalities, we could talk about that then, right? And that is what he did. He interviewed many, many people and studied biblically great saints of the Bible and great saints of the church. And he put them together and he says, these are the commonalities. These are like 7, 8 commonalities that everyone of the great Christians, the saints, had in common. And you know, one thing that I noticed when we go through this is that these are people that dream of an eternal impact in the kingdom of God, who envision crossing the finish line that the Apostle Paul talks about as one of God's great saints. And they are motivated to do whatever it takes to know God deeply and to be used by Him powerfully. And one thing that I noticed in all this is God is not nearly as interested in your ability to learn truth. God is not nearly as interested in how you learn truth as He is in your willingness to apply truth to your life. Does that make sense? God is not nearly as interested in your ability to learn truth as He is in your willingness to apply it. You see, I believe that God invites you to be a world-changing, kingdom-shaping follower of Christ. Amen? So let's dig in this morning. The first thing that he mentions is think great thoughts. Have you ever thought about that? If you were to make a list of your thoughts, to see your all faces whenever I said that, it's funny. Sorry. If you were to make a list of your thoughts, would they be great thoughts? Make or think great thoughts. So the first concept of moving from good to great is to think great thoughts. And I want to read a page in this book. And quite honestly, I read it to my family, and it created quite a debate. But I want to read it to you this morning because I think it's a powerful vision. I think it's something that many of us need to consider. He says, Dr. Jack Haskins, a professor at the University of Tennessee, spent 12 years researching the effectiveness of media on how people think. One of his studies attempted to determine the impact of a 5-minute radio program, not visually, but a radio program that was filled with negative news stories. All right, stick with me now. News stories such as 17 children blown up on a bus, an earthquake that killed thousands, riots in the streets of a large city, and so on. One group listened to the negative programs, while a control group listened to more positive and uplifting news. After evaluating the listeners who were daily exposed to 5 minutes of bad news. Okay, did you hear that? 5 minutes of bad news. Haskins discovered 4 discernible effects on them. 1, they were more depressed than they were before. 2, they believed the world was a negative place. 3, they were less likely to help others. And 4, they began to believe that what they heard would soon happen to them. All right, so now let me say those again. 1, they were more depressed than before. 2, they believed the world was a negative place. They were less likely, 3, they were less likely to help others. And 4, they began to believe that what they heard would soon happen to them. Simply by receiving and reflecting on the information from the radio program, their perceptions of the world and their outlook on life adversely affected their thoughts. Their concept of reality was shaped by their thoughts, which went back to what? What shaped their thoughts? The negative radio, right? Yeah. So, now, think about this. How could 5 minutes of negative thinking each day have that kind of influence? The old axiom, you are what you eat, is true not only physically, but also psychologically and spiritually. The thoughts we entertain in our minds become the thoughts that guide our lives for better or for worse. You thought about that? What do you listen to each day? In this day and age, if you spend your days listening to news, what do you get? Negative, 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 right? Now, the debate that sprung up around the dinner table whenever I read this to family was, but Eric, we have to be informed, right? We can't bury our heads in the sand, can we? And that is exactly right. We can't. We can't ignore what's going on around us. However, my solution was, okay, if you watch an hour of news, or TV in my opinion, then spend 10 minutes of that hour reading Scripture and praying. If you watch the news or TV for 2 hours, then spend 20 minutes a day praying and reading Scripture. Think about that. Now, for a lot of you, at least it would cut down on your TV watching. Right? But think about it. That's only one-sixth. One-sixth. So you have the positive message of Scripture. And you have... That's only one-sixth of that hour, right? And if you think about it, in our lives, and think about negative comments versus positive comments, right? How many positive comments do you have to make up for one negative comment? Yeah, a lot, right? I mean, for some reason, people can compliment you all day, and that one person that came up to you with a gripe or something like that, you go to bed with, don't you? I mean, it's like stuck in your mind. First service, I said, for some reason, negative comments have a big old barb on the hook, right? And we just can't let go of them. But the positive comments, they don't have a barb. It's like they slip right out. See what I'm saying? Right? So, you know, yes, we have to be informed. We have to understand what's going on in the world. But the thing is, we have to bring positive things into our life. Because otherwise, we begin thinking like the world is against us. We begin thinking that the world, that whatever's happening out there is going to happen to me. We begin living in fear, right? And that is not good. We have to be reminded of how much God loves us and cares for us. And how God created us to be these awesome kingdom-changing people. Kingdom-changing people. So here's what I say in that regard, and I'm going to leave it alone. An hour of television or news, 10 minutes in Scripture. I think that's pretty slim pickings, don't you? Yeah. Maybe we ought to edge that up to 30 minutes of news and 30 minutes of praying. And you see what I mean? I mean, quite honestly, what does it take in our life? 1 hour a week here at church does not cut it. Honestly. Honestly. So when we put positive ideas into our minds, such as, oh, come on guys, now help me out. I am a child of, and I am. Think about it. If you woke up with that every day. Now you all think, oh, I just say that as a nice little sweet thing to make you leave the church thinking positive thoughts. No, I say that every Sunday to you because I want you to get in your heads. I want you to live with it daily. I want you to wake up and go, I am a child of God and I am not alone. Just like that. with a much sweeter voice. Whenever you don't think you can take one foot, put one foot in front of the other, I want you to say, I am a child of God and I am not alone. Let's say that together and let's mean it. I don't want you to say it if you don't mean it. I want you to say it like you mean it. I am a child of God and I am not alone. May that be your mantra. May you live by that. May that be the thing that fills your bucket when nothing else does. Another one is Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Think about when you put your feet on the floor out of bed. If you said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. Think how that would shape your day. We have positive emotions whenever we have statements like, I am a child of God and I am not alone. Or, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever those are in your life, that forces us, that causes us to have positive emotions. And when we put discouraging, depressing ideas into our minds, we end up with negative emotions. Negative emotions. So, how do we do this? Well, I just have some bullet points here that I want to lift up to you as we get started on this teaching series, Good to Great. And the first thing is think great thoughts. Think great thoughts. That is the first of many in this series, and we'll be picking each one each week, maybe a couple some weeks. But think great thoughts. Now, how do we think great thoughts? What does that mean to think great thoughts? What is that again? Think great thoughts. Say it again for me. Think great thoughts. Well, the first thing is think great thoughts about God. Now, there are several scripture that you could use, but one of my favorite, and if you want to turn with me, I won't read the whole thing. It's Psalm 139. It has taken me out of some deep, dark places in my life when I've read this psalm. But listen to this. Actually, just write it down. I want you to close your eyes and listen. Dick, don't fall asleep now. Psalm 139. Write it down, but then just, I want you to listen to my voice. Listen to this. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God, even before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge, God, is too wonderful for me. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God, you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Folks, that is a powerful, powerful prayer. If that doesn't lift you, wow, shows you, it reminds you how much your God loves you. And that whenever you were one cell, God was watching over you. Think about that. The creator of all that is. If that doesn't make you do a dance out of here, I don't know what will. So, think great thoughts about God. Number two, think great thoughts about yourself. Think great thoughts about yourself. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that you're big-headed or anything, right? That's not what that means at all. But realize that God has blessed you. I mean, just Psalm 139 is a great way to realize that God has blessed you. But also, Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you with His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. How awesome is that? What if you woke up each morning thinking about the God of the universe singing a song and rejoicing over you? How many negative news broadcasts would that overcome in your life? I mean, this is a concept too of like I can't walk from here to there unless I believe I can walk from here to there. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, physically, you all know I can walk from here to there. But if I don't believe I can walk from here to there, it's not going to happen, is it? I mean, Dad's mom had, we called it back then, manic depression, right? She was manic depressive, right? And there were days, I mean, I grew up in a town, and Dad grew up in a town that was like 1,300 people, right? And there were days she would get out of bed, man, she would get all dolled up with her makeup and her hair just to go down, and her high heels, right, and a dress, just to go downtown Stanbury, Missouri. How many of us would do that today? Well, I wouldn't wear the high heels, but how many of us would do that today, right? No. Anyway, yeah, we don't want to start anything there, Mom. But the thing is, we never knew from one day to the other if we were going to get that lady or the depressed lady. The one who had a hard time putting her feet on the floor because the entire world was against her. On those days, nothing physically changed, but she didn't believe she could get out of bed. And she didn't. Many days. See, we have to believe that God created us and has a purpose for our life. And we can accomplish that purpose. All we have to do is submit to God's will in our life, and God will take us there. But we have to believe it. Are you following what I'm saying today? So think great thoughts about God. Say that with me. Think great thoughts about God. The second one is think great thoughts about yourself. Let's say that together. Think great thoughts about yourself. The third is think great thoughts about others. Oh boy. Now there are some it's easy to think great thoughts about, right? But there are others. Right? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart." Praise God, right? Think great thoughts about others. When you think about it from God's perspective, God loves him or her as much as God loves you. Right? Think great thoughts about life. You know, life isn't, no matter what this world says, life isn't about acquiring or accumulating or impressing or exploiting other people. That's not what life is about. Life is about discovering God's agenda. Amen? Life is about discovering God's will for your life. Life is about taking up the cross and following Jesus. So think great thoughts about God. Think great thoughts about yourself. Think great thoughts about others. Think great thoughts about life. Think great thoughts about the future. Oh, you know what I want to say about life? Saturday. What is it? Today's Sunday. Saturday. It's been Friday. And this weekend, with graduation stuff, it's been kind of crazy. I heard one of the best valedictorian speeches that I've ever heard. Austin Reedy. I don't know if you know the Reedy family, but Austin Reedy was valedictorian. He gave one of the absolute best valedictorian speeches I've heard. I mean, yeah, it was here, there, and yonder, so kind of like some of my sermons. But but anyway, one thing that he said, he says, you know, I'm kind of tired of the cliches. And he looked at the senior class and he says, we're not going to change the world. But he says, you know what? Each of us in our little corner of the world with our families and our friends, we can change that. And then all of us can come together and make big changes in this world because we do it together. If each of us do our part and change our little corner of the world, right? We can come together and make a big difference in this community and in this world. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I thought that was great insight. And it's something for us to keep in mind. Think great thoughts about life. Think great thoughts about the future. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Think great thoughts about your future. Think great thoughts about the past. Don't let those negative things get you down. They're gone, right? We can't do anything about them. There's a lot of things I've said in my life that I wish I could take back, but you know I can't. I can talk to the people, apologize for what I said or what they thought I said, but whatever I did, whatever I said is done, isn't it? And it's hurting me if I ask for forgiveness. My mic, does my mic keep going out? If I've asked for forgiveness and I don't let it go, that just hurts me, doesn't it? You've got to let it go. Let the past go. Think great thoughts about the past. Remember those positive things that God has allowed you to accomplish in your life. And learn from the negative, but don't keep a hold of them. And finally, think great thoughts about challenges. Think great thoughts about challenges. Think about if your challenge, if a challenge in your life was just a way to make you grow, was a stepping stone, right, for a great purpose God has in your life. How would that change your life? If you would think of, rather than getting it down, and I'm preaching to Eric here too, rather than getting you down, what if you would think that's a stepping stone of what God has done or is going to do in your life? Think great thoughts about challenges. Now, some of you probably are wondering about my sermon title. Well, believe it or not, that's a Greek word. I'll see if I'll take a shot at it. I didn't even try first service. Logizmai is the best I can do. Right? And it's used many places in the Bible, but it's used in Philippians 4:8. I'm going to go back here real quick and let's read this. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think is where that word, that Greek word is. It means to ponder. It means to think deeply enough that it changes your life. That kind of pondering. Hold on to it. Try to understand it. Reason it out. That's what that word, that Greek word means, which is translated as think in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. However it's used, that is the word, logizmai, to think deeply about. And what is it that the Apostle Paul is asking us to think deeply about? Let's read it together. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Dear God, we celebrate you this day. And we thank you for all that you do for us. We are so humbled, God, that you love us so much. That you've known us since we were in our mother's womb. That you had great plans for us. Help us, God, to think great thoughts. Reform us, God. And it's going to take time, Lord. I mean, we hear negative things and we've heard negative things our entire life. And it has shaped us and formed us many times into negative people, Lord. So we ask in Jesus' name that you give us patience with ourselves. That you help us be steadfast in getting into your scripture and to pray and to bring these statements to mind when we're having a hard time so that we can slowly change the way we think. So that we can think great thoughts about you and about each other, about ourselves, about other people, about the future and about the past, about our challenges, God. Give us strength. Help us change the way we think, God. Help us stay away from negative things. Yes, be informed, but make sure that we get as much positive things. Make sure we get your word, God, in our lives as much or more than we do negative things. We love you, God. And we celebrate your name this day. And we ask for your anointing as we leave this worship space. Help our lives be changed and do great things for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.